The veto session started 22 minutes ago down in Springfield. Of course, the new congressional map will come into play. Obviously, everybody's upset about this map. Kinzinger is kind of the odd man out on the Republican side. Newman's not happy on the Democrat side. It's just ridiculous. Eric Boehm is a reporter for Reason.com, and I found this at the same website. And the headline is, the new Illinois congressional map is in fact a window into America's political dysfunction. Eric, always great having you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Always glad to be here.
The proposed plan here in Illinois is a total mess. One proposed district is a sweeping crescent from the middle of the state, west of the Mississippi, then north to the Wisconsin border. Another is a jagged gash running from the suburbs of St. Louis to the Indiana border. Parts of 10 different districts slice through Chicago and its suburbs, which is ludicrous. Overall, the map has been given a grade of F by the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, grading on partisan fairness, geographical compactness, and other factors. Is this map, as it stands now, salvageable?
Well, I guess that's for the lawmakers to decide, right? I mean, this is in some ways a difficult topic to talk about on the radio because your listeners really need to go see this thing for themselves, right? You really need to just look at it. I think anybody who has even a passing familiarity with the geography and the demographics of Illinois will look at it and just kind of be like, wow, what are they doing here? When you think about it for a few minutes, though, it makes a lot of sense what they're doing here. What the Democrats in Springfield are trying to do is make sure that there are, 50% plus one Democratic voters in as many districts as possible, because that's how you win elections to Congress, right? So what they've done is they've tried to cut the margins pretty thin on some of these districts, but they're trying to, they've got, a situation where the Princeton review, the Princeton analysis of it suggests that I think it's, 14-3 14 Democratic-leaning districts, and then three very deeply red Republican districts on this map. So that's obviously that's the strategy here.
At least with this map in Illinois, will it put the end to a ridiculous claim that only Republicans engage in gerrymandering?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a sort of bizarre thing that comes up from time to time, and like even the New York Times, even some like really respectable publications that should know better, have advanced this argument. And this is because I think gerrymandering for a lot of Americans kind of first got on their radar, or at least most recently got on their radar after the 2011 redistricting, right? We only do this once every 10 years. Republicans in 2010 had a really great year. That was the first Obama midterm. They won, I think, something like 1,000 seats. They flipped something like 1,000 seats in state legislatures all over the country. And state legislatures, by and large, control the redistricting process. Every state has its own, process for this, but for the most part, the state legislature has a pretty significant role to play. And so Republicans, obviously, they used this to their advantage in 2011 when they redrew the maps, and there were a lot of highly, Republican gerrymandered, states. Pennsylvania, where I was at the time, actually covering the state politics there, I can tell you was highly gerrymandered for the Republicans. North Carolina, kind of famously, Wisconsin also were Republican gerrymanders. And so there's this notion out to think that, like, oh, Republicans have been doing this thing for years where they've been gerrymandering districts. And it's not true. It's just that they had the opportunity to do it. Maryland in 2011 was controlled by the Democrats, and it was also ridiculously gerrymandered. Yeah. And now the Democrats are doing it in New York and Illinois and elsewhere this time around.
It's just such a ridiculous... look, I understand to the victor go the spoils. I understand... what's good for the goose, good for the gander, red, blue. But still, we've got to change the system. Now, back to our map, reading from your piece at Reason.com, Eric. So by cutting places like Bloomington, Champaign, Decatur, Peoria out of the surrounding redder areas, Democrats have created, and I love this phrase, is this your phrase, some serious vote sinks.
That's not, I mean, I can't claim to having coined that phrase. That's a phrase that gets thrown around in redistricting parlance and the study of this political science. That's basically the goal when you're in charge of redistricting. And again, this is a thing that both parties do, and both parties should be hammered for doing it. What you try to do is you try to pack as many of your opponent's voters into as few districts as possible, right? And so you try to load up a handful of districts with all the Republicans in Illinois, if you could do it. You can't quite get away with doing that, but you can get pretty close in a state like Illinois, where you have some pretty stark divides between the deep blue Chicago area and the much redder rest of the state. And so that's exactly what the Democrats have tried to do here. They've tried to pack basically, you know, all of the red parts of the state into three congressional districts, and that leaves all the purplish-blue areas for Democrats to win elsewhere. Now, there is some danger in doing this. One thing that they're, you know, and I think Dave Wasserman and some other people who have looked at these maps have suggested that the Democrats are running a little bit of a risk here because they've cut the margins really thin. They're aiming for a 14-3 split. But in a good midterm, and we may be on the brink of what could be a good midterm for the Republicans, there's definitely some winnable, you know, blue but winnable districts out there on this map. So this is one of those things where elections ultimately, you know, like football games, right? They're not played on paper. They're not won and lost on paper. You actually have to get your voters to turn out. And so, you know, no matter how you draw the districts, in some way, you know, there's always going to be a chance for the other party to win.
Well, assuming that they stand pretty close to what they proposed, the redrawing, it looks like a victory for Democrats, but it could be an unexpected gift for the Trumpier Republicans, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other angle here, too, and that's not something I'm sure that is really high on the Democrats' radar, because they don't need to worry about that. But one thing that does happen, and you see this in state after state, is when you have these when you do the thing that we were just talking about, where you try to pack as many of your opponent's voters into a few districts, you end up with really deep red or deep blue districts. And in those places, the primary election is what matters, right? If you have a district that's 65 or 70% Republicans, which a couple of the districts on this proposed map are, then the general election isn't really a contest at that point. So it all comes down to the primary. And of course, what we know from the last couple of decades in American politics is that primary elections tend to favor the fringier people with more extreme views because of who turns out and who pays attention to primary elections. So those districts that the Democrats are carving here, these deep Republican districts, are, I think, a gift to the kind of fringy right wing of the Republican Party. And then you've got a guy like Adam Kinzinger, who has, you know, he's been a moderate Republican from the Chicago suburbs or exurbs, and he's you know, one of the guys who voted to impeach Trump. I think he's an independent minded member of Congress who stands apart from some of what the Republican Party is currently engaging in.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
And yet he's the guy who gets screwed here. He's the guy who ends up losing his seat, probably.
Yeah, the thing is, if I was a Democrat, I'd want Mary Miller to win as opposed to Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah, sure, right, mm-hmm. Because then you make the other side look even more extreme, right? So there's definitely an element of that, exactly. Too. Yeah.
Well, Eric Boehm, I always enjoy reading you and talking with you. Thanks so much. We'll go back to Reason.com. I'll wait for your next piece and have you back here, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Take care. Eric Boehm, reporter for Reason.